Here comes a tram passing myself and
Nafiz Ahmed.
Come on, give us your full title.
Dr. Nafiz Ahmed.
He says embarrassingly. We're standing in a very festive feeling streets of Graz. Do you know, I don't necessarily like it so early in the year, but there was a slither of a Christmassy feel as I walked out of that shop with a bag full of Lego. It's not for me, I said as we bought it. We're at the Elevate Festival. The hashtag is #ElevateFestival. And Nafiz, you've already done a lot of talking, but your main day comes up when?
Today, in about an hour or less than an hour, I'll be speaking on a panel about the Great Transformation.
Tell me about the Great Transformation.
Yeah, so it's all about looking at the big picture of how our world is facing this horrible, scary multiplicity of converging crises. But it's more than that. It's more than just looking at the pessimistic side, because I think one thing is clear, and one thing I've always argued is when you take the big picture approach and you look at how all of these crises are interconnected through this big system, climate change, energy depletion, water scarcity, food crisis, the economy, blah, 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 blah. It's all happening. We know that it's very bad, and we know that the business as usual scenario is disaster, and it's probably happening much faster. In fact, scientists are now saying that everything seems to be actually happening much faster than the models predicted. That's the kind of the bleak side, but the positive side is that there's lots of exciting stuff happening on the ground sporadically, these seeds of dissent, these seeds of an alternative paradigm. And that's what I'm really interested in, is looking at the way we frame the crisis. So rather than seeing, and it kind of fits the theme of Elevate the Apocalypse and the original meaning of apocalypse, which is about lifting the veil, because what we're actually seeing is not just, we're not talking about the end of the world. What we're talking about is the end of an old paradigm of hierarchy, power, control, violence, which is now failing. It's reaching the end of its term, in a way. It's no way that this system can survive until the end of the century. In one way or another, it won't be here. So there's a major opportunity here to kind of like really dream, I think, actually, about the kinds of ways that we'd really like to live and to begin implementing them. And many people are now doing that. And one of the things I've been trying to do is to scope out the interesting things people are doing with food, with water, with energy, politically, socially. And to me, there's a very consistent dynamic. It's all about decentralization, localization, things becoming more participatory. So in economics and food, people are localizing, they're doing more stuff, making more decisions locally, they're growing food locally, using organic methods, not chemical fertilizers. In terms of energy, you've got communities pooling their resources to create cooperative energy units. All this kind of stuff is happening. And for me, I think this is the beginning of a new paradigm, which we're now co-creating. And this is really a glimpse of the future we could have.
Worst case scenario, how long has humanity got, roughly?
Worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is...
If we do nothing,
if we carry on, the worst case scenario, absolutely worst case scenario, which I don't think is necessarily a probability, because I think good things are happening and things may change. But if we take it as it stands now, I reckon 2020, 2025, we will be seeing really major, major calamities.
That's 8 to 13 years.
That's 8 to 13 years.
It's taken potentially 40 years for the concepts of what you've just been talking about, which Schumacher was talking about in Small is Beautiful. It's taken 40 years for that to kind of, people start doing stuff about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think kind of illustrates the irony of the logic of capitalism as it stands today, which is very much about accelerating this path to infinite growth without any recognition of limits or costs. And it just goes on, and it's literally, if you plot it on a graph, which actually people have done, they've looked at the rate at which we're exploiting energy, the rate at which we're growing our societies in terms of population, for example, if you look at all of that, it's exponential and it's just getting faster and faster and faster. And it's clearly out of control now.
The soundtrack to your words of doom is humorous at the moment.
Yeah. And I think that's actually the kind of thing that I'm trying to get at, that, you know what, it's unraveling. What we're seeing here is a great unraveling. And rather than seeing it as, oh my God, it's the end, everything, everyone's going to die. And, you know, it's a possibility everyone might die. But having said that, if we kind of just decide that everyone's going to die, then everyone is going to die. So we've got an opportunity to say, actually, you know what, we could actually create something really cool and really exciting. And we could make some, we could actually see the possibility of our dreams. We can, you know, maybe becoming reality. And I think if you allow that to be a possibility and you recognize that this could be a possibility and you work towards it, it may well become something that happens.
Okay, so let's take it as read that you've got over the feeling of thinking, oh, I don't want to act all hippy dippy and start eating leaves from the garden because I've grown them myself, and I'm not going to be a vegan, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do, but I'd like to do something. I'd like to do something that's easy and practical, and maybe the benefit will suddenly become evident to me, because at the moment all I've done is read it in books, like your book. You are free to plug it when you wish.
Yeah. Speaking of which, yes, A User's Guide to the Crisis of Civilization. The website is www.crisisofcivilization.com, and you can watch a whole film of the book free online.
So what can people do?
People can watch our film free online and tell everybody about it.
Yeah,
that's a good start. But yeah, I mean, I would actually take myself as an example, in the sense that when I was looking at this kind of stuff, I kind of thought to myself, I want to do something about this. I found it, and I still find it challenging and difficult to make big changes to my lifestyle. And it's something I'm still struggling with. And I, you know, I kind of wrangle with my conscience sometimes about the fact that I still drive a car and I'm living in London in the city and I have to live like that and blah, 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 blah. So I think it's important to kind of have aspirations about what we want to do. But I think start simple. Start with your skills. Look at who you are and what you've got to offer and what you want to do with life and what you enjoy. I think that's the first thing. And then you start by looking at the people around you and you kind of see, well, who's around me? My family, my friends, my buddies, not, you know, the communities, wherever you are. Well, what can I do in relation with them that we'd like to do together? Let's do. Don't do it on your own. Do it with some people. And I think you can start with anything. So with me, it made sense to write because I love writing. And then, you know, I had the opportunity to make the film because I met someone who had that skill and we did it. We literally got together. We didn't get any funding from an institution or anything. We just did it because we wanted to do it. We believed in it and we loved what we did. And I think that's the key. It's really believing in what you're doing, loving what you're doing, and having that authenticity and sincerity to try and make it the best it can be and make it align with that, with this kind of this emerging ethos that we're seeing. And I think the important thing is then to identify a project or something and then do it and create something new. And I think it's the act of creating something new is immensely important, not necessarily relying so much. And I think to some extent you are going to, when you create something and you begin to create something, you are going to find walls and you'll find challenges, and then you'll find, you know, that you won't be able to do it all by yourself, and you might need to get help from outside, you might need to get advice, or you might need to get someone to sponsor you. But don't let that stop you. Don't say, oh, I need to wait for all of that to happen. Just start doing it and start making it happen. And you'll be amazed at the amazing things you can do by just starting to create something new. And I think that's the key, because then by creating something new, you are quite literally planting the seed of a new society. And even if you don't see the fruits now, and sometimes people get disillusioned and burnt out by the fact that, oh, you know, no one's, you know, people don't recognize it, it's not changing everything, blah, blah, blah. But we have to remember that maybe it's not the right time. Maybe a lot of people aren't aware and they're stuck in their kind of rut. That's okay, because in 10 years' time, things are going to get far worse. And it's going to be a lot more difficult to kind of turn around and say, hey, you know, well, this austerity measures, they're still really good and we can still use them and they'll still work. Because 10 years down the line, people will say, you know what, we've done this. This is not going to work. We need something else. And I think we have to think in that long-term way and think that what we're doing now, you know, it is going to bear fruit in some way. And we might not even see the results, but they will have results.
So there's a selection of choices there. There's some big choices and there's some little choices. The big choices being redirect your life, put your skills into practice here. If you love writing, write about the possibilities of change, write about the planting of these seeds of a potentially new way of living. It might just be a consumer choice. You know the buzzwords already. You know, you've invested in some new footwear today.
Absolutely.
Footwear that not only is meant to improve your health, but is made with sustainable materials and has a really interesting ethos around it. Does the product you're looking at right now have a story? Is it reusable? Is it recyclable? All these things we've been banging on about for so long. But do you actually make the choice? Because that's a tiny choice that can make ultimately a big difference if we all do it. So give me again the URL of the film.
It's crisisofcivilization.com.
And you can watch it for free. I imagine there is more information in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. The book was the first thing I created, which is based on the review of a whole wide, massive range of literature across the social and natural sciences, which attempts to kind of make sense of what's going on today. Literally everything that's happening in the world, everything that you see around you that is collapsing, failing, be it civil disorder, food prices, oil prices, war. I try to make sense of it in a holistic framework.
Are you happy for people to buy the book and then pass it on?
Yeah, absolutely. Please, any way you can get it out, just do it.
Cool.
I'm up for it.
Well, we're nearly at the top of a hill, which will take us to the venue where you'll be talking very shortly. Thank you very much, Nafees.
Thank you, Chris.